Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Good morning and welcome to today's episode of the High Profit Event Show. Today we have Mr. Nick Long here as a guest. Welcome, sir.
Hey, Rudy. How you doing, buddy? Always a pleasure to see you. I actually got to see you in person recently. It's even more of a pleasure.
Yeah, man. It was great to hang out with you this past weekend in Atlanta, Georgia at a conference watching our mutual friend and partner, Troy Hoffman, speak on stage representing Founders, which I love that you're wearing. Founders shirt, Founders hat. Baller.
Rudy, I'm like a NASCAR driver with one sponsor. Like, I'm always branded.
I love it, man. I love the swag. I know you like good swag. It's important.
I love good swag. I mean, I love some good swag. And I think every person that's running a live event should have amazing swag. It's one of the best ways to have people remember your brand.
100%, man. And for our audience who are just coming across your name for the first time, a few bio points on Nick. Nick, you're, first of all, to make the point, you sold over $1 million in 24 hours at a live event without using pay ads. And I know we're going to get into that a little bit more today, but I think that's a big wow statement that hopefully leans into and be like, holy smoke, I need to listen to this guy. But if you needed more, if the results didn't speak well enough for you, here's a little background. Nick's been in the business of entrepreneurship for over 25 years. He's run several eight-figure companies, sold several of them, resulting in over $600 million of revenue, and has employed over 6,000 people in his career. And he really is the creator of the Exitpreneur movement. And Nick, just so excited to have you share your experience with us and your expertise on our episode today.
Yeah, man, always happy to share, especially with people who are trying to build community and build it through live event. I mean, I love it. I'm a live event junkie. So not only am I a teacher, I'm also a student. So I love sitting in this conversation.
Absolutely, brother. Well, maybe you give us a little bit about your background. I know you did $1 million in 24 hours at a live event without using paid ads, but maybe give us a little bit of the runway that kind of sets the context for that and maybe some of your experience. And then let's jump into that because I definitely want to hear how you did.
Perfect. Well, let me tell you, like, the most important thing is I've been married for 11 years to my beautiful wife, Nicole. I'm a proud father of two. I have a 10-year-old daughter, Nevin Joy, and I have a 9-year-old son, Noah Jack. They are sort of the epicenter of my life and the why behind the what of what I do. So I guess the best way to really give you some context is like back into a story, and I'll do that through sharing some numbers. So 600 million is what you heard from Rudy, is what I've done collectively in the revenues of the companies I've started, founded, run, and sold. And many of them are still going today. So that number continues to tick up like a Las Vegas jackpot. And so 600 million is what I've done in revenue. 50 million was my net worth at 39 years old. -2 million was my net worth at 40 years old. $1 million is what I personally invested into myself going to live events. 4 is the number that I'm really driving for, which is myself, my wife, my daughter, my son. And 1 is the greatest investment I have, which is myself and being one and connected with God. And I think a lot of people try to flip that on its head. Like, you would think that 1 couldn't hold up 600 million, but it does. And that's where it started from. And that's where it will always be. And so, like, the crazy thing is in that story of me going from a 50 million net worth to a -2 million net worth, like literally overnight, the one thing they couldn't take from me, Rudy, was the $1 million I invested in myself.
Amen.
Like, they couldn't take that. And that was invested at live events, in rooms with people like you, like Troy Hoffman, like the people in my network. And so while my net worth plummeted, they couldn't take my network away. And they couldn't take my self-worth away either. And so for me, like, live events aren't just something to go to feel good. Like, it's not like this placebo effect. And it angers me when people try to just run like a motivational event. And I want everybody to listen to this and possibly write this down. the motivation, the root word of motivation is motive. Someone else's agenda, someone else's propaganda. And like when there's only a motive, you can only move so many people. And motivation is this kind of like, I don't know, it's like a self-help blanket that you put on like when you get, like when you're not feeling so good. But it doesn't last that. Like when people run an event, they should focus on inspiration. And I define inspiration as the like getting inside somebody, like, and getting them to come out of themselves, and to the preparation is like the perspiration. So an internal drive to get uncomfortable, to do the work, to have the sweat on your brow. And that is what actually like constitutes change. And so if you're listening to this and you're trying to like run an event to motivate people, don't even waste your time. Like it's literally a mental masturbation exercise, and you're doing yourself and you're doing your community a disservice. People come to events, they don't know this, but people come to events for one of three reasons. People will come to your event and they might not know this, but I say this at every event. I get up and I say, there's three types of people in this room. There's three types of people in this room, and we're going to expose which one you are right now. But just because you showed up as one of these three archetypes doesn't mean you have to stay there. You have an active choice right now, as I start to hit you with the harsh reality and the truth of where you sit, to make a choice to move from this place to the place that you ultimately want to be. Because that's why you're here. If you had it all figured out, you wouldn't be sitting in this room. So you came to this room lacking something, craving something, wanting something, and you're one of three people. You're a person that's here for information. You just want to write down in your journal and take all these notes, and you want to consume information, and you're part of an epidemic that I call infobesity, where you've been bloated on so much info that you've done nothing with it. We've heard that knowledge is, and everybody goes, power. And I go, bullshit. Knowledge is knowledge. Knowledge applied is power. Knowledge not applied is ignorance. So knowledge is the pendulum of choice. Right? So you're either here for information or you're here for confrontation, right? You're here for confrontation to confront something inside of yourself, to challenge what I'm thinking, to sit back with your arms crossed and say, what does this guy know? Let's see what he's all about. What are all these people doing here? Like, what is this self-help thing all about? And I don't really need this, but I'm going to go and confirm my confirmation bias that like, this is not for me. Community is not for me. So your information, confrontation, or the real thing that everybody should be seeking is transformation. To confront the things inside of yourself, to confront the things that you don't like about yourself, to get some information on how to possibly fix that and make that pendulum choice, an active choice to take that knowledge into application. And then and there can you have transformation. Because if you're sitting in a live event or you're hosting a live event, like why else would you be doing it? But to transform someone's life beyond the place that they're currently at to the place that they ultimately want to be. So to say I love live events would be an understatement. Like I could literally, really, I could have hung out with you for another 3 weeks and gone to three more events. I mean, I love it. Like if I didn't love my family so much, I'd probably need like a 12-step program to get out of live events.
Careful what you ask for, brother.
Yeah, sure.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing.
I don't know, that was a long diatribe there, but it kind of gives you some context.
I love the context, man. It's where you're coming from, right? And you and I were talking in the green room, if you're running an event because the money is the motivator, like you're going to miss the mark. But if
right.
The motivator, like the difference, the value you're creating for other people, that's how you get the result. I know you're going to talk more about that, but I do want to recap here just a couple of things that took away. Yeah, motivation, root word motive means someone else is moving you, and people are typically either looking for information, confirmation, or transformation. So I really like the way you chunked that down. But I'd love to hear more from you about your experience with events and how did you do it, man? I know there's so many things you can share about, but how did you generate $1 million of revenue in 24 hours at an event without using paid ads?
Yeah. It's crazy. I actually kind of like get chills thinking about it. And I also generated $250,000 in 1 week just using my cell phone. And so really, again, like I talked about is like at the end of the day, like your self-worth plus your network will sort of dictate your overall net worth. And so what happened is I was running a very big business. I've employed, like you said, 6,000 people. And I actually realized as you were saying that, like it's been in multiple countries. I've owned a business in Guatemala, Vietnam, Spain, the UK, Canada. Like, so it's, I got to add that up. So thank you for regurgitating back that to me so I can actually give myself the gift to see how many countries I've actually done business in. But anyway, so in this journey on my last business, I knew this was going to be the one. I knew this was going to be the one. My wife and I started it with very humble beginnings. We started with $75,000 of credit card debt, a cubic zirconia on her finger, and a big ass why. We wanted to have a family. We wanted to live a life of abundance and not just materialism, but material value, material experience, like to be able to like fly first class with people like you and Troy and be in the places that people we want to be around are in. And that requires making money. Like, it's not a mystery. And so we did this whole thing. We built it all up. And on my 39th birthday, I got offered $32 million for my business. $32 million. But here's the thing is I didn't understand what most entrepreneurs don't understand, which is how deals work. Like, how do you actually exit your business? What does the transaction look like? And do I get that in cash? Do they bring me a briefcase? Do they back the Brinks truck up and offload the cash in my living room? What does that look like? And then what's a rollout? What's a rollover? What's a seller carry back? What's phantom equity? I mean, all of these things, right? So here's the thing is that, and this ties into events too, is that people will typically run away from things that they don't understand. And so did I. So I ran away from this $32 million offer because I didn't understand it. I took the wrong advice. There wasn't a room I could go sit in and ask these questions. And then the government came in, our good old US of A, they came in and they regulated like me specifically and the industry I was in. And wham, it all got taken away overnight. And so I was like, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do? I've got a wife, I've got two kids. I've got this 88 acre ranch up in Idaho. I've got house in Newport Beach. I got the matching Porsches and I got the tractors up on the ranch. I've got 50, 60,000 a month worth of expenses. What am I going to do? And I started walking through and taking an inventory of all those numbers I talked about. And I said, well, listen, like they took those top numbers, but they can't take this underlying number of $1 million from me that I spent on personal development, that I spent at live events, learning, networking, and building up like this, my Rolodex. Like this is the most valuable thing I own right here, is just this little plastic box called a cell phone. Because in here is Rudy Rodriguez's number. In here is Troy Hoffman's number. In here is Russ Perry's number. In here, I can go on and on and on and on of great men that give a shit about me that I met in the same intention that they did of bettering our lives through live events and coaching and mentorship, et cetera. They couldn't take that. And so I had this vision. I was going to sell the company for $50 million, 50, and then I was going to create a community. I was going to create a live event and teach people like how to sell their business, how to understand that their eventual enterprise value will be a direct derivative of their intrapersonal value, the value that they place on themselves. And so as I sat in the dark of my heart, sat in the dark of my mind, as I sat in the dark of the room, and I'm like, oh my God, my life is over. I said, well, wait a minute. The destination didn't change. Just the road I was walking on got a barrier. And so like God, the universe is redirecting me, but it still hasn't taken this vision away. And so I started taking an inventory of like, oh my God, I know all these people. I'd met hundreds, thousands of people at live events and I stored their phone number. I stored the greatest thing that they could have given me was trusting me with their information. And I was like, holy crap. All right, well, I don't have any resources in the form of money, but I can be very resourceful. I can allocate my time. I can allocate my mind. I can allocate my energy. I can allocate my vulnerability. And that's what I did, is I started architecting this thing. And I said, okay, I'm going to run this live event. Like, I don't have a choice. right? Back is against the wall, avalanche coming, and I'm running as fast as I can from the bills that are coming my way. And I said, all right, I'm going to run this event and I'm going to sell at the end of this event. I'm going to pour into people, man. I'm going to just pour into them. I'm going to work on the transformation piece. I'm going to give them the information. I'm going to confront their truth. I'm going to confront their lies, and I'm going to call them and give them an invitation to transformation. And I'm going to show them so much value that it's going to be undeniable that this is the place, this is the community that they need to stay. And the ones that don't, that's fine too, because if they don't see it, I don't want them, because that they will displace the energy. And so, man, Rudy, I just started texting my ass off. And I would do video notes, man. Video notes are such a great thing. Hey, Rudy, what's up, man? It's me. Dude, I love you, man. Like, how is your dog? How is Lady? Hey, by the way, thank you for sharing the room with me a couple weeks ago. Listen, I'm hosting this live event, my first one, but it's going to be wild. I'm bringing in some of my closest friends, and I consider you to be one of them. At this event, we're going to talk about X, Y, Z, but man, more importantly, you're going to be in the energy of people who are just like you. So I'm wanting you to come. Like, it will cost you nothing outside of your time and your travel expense, but it could cost you a lot by not being in this room. So, Rudy, I'm just hoping that as my friend, you come. And I sent that out to like 100 people, and I made it specific. It took me a long time, because first I had to make the list. The second thing is I had to like prioritize the list. The third thing, I had to like think very specifically about these people. But thank God, like, I made the time. And so I got 25 people in a room, and it wasn't sexy. It wasn't rainbows and fireworks and massive keynote speakers. It was me speaking from my heart. It was me bringing in people that I met in rooms at live events. And then at the end, what I did is I had them like go to their heart center, because what happens is when you drop an offer, or when you like come up for the quote unquote pitch, it gets very awkward most of the time. It's like this weird, like kissing my sister energy, right? It's just terrible. And so like, and it also starts to destroy like a lot of that reciprocity and a sense of community that you built up. But the problem is people, like, they make people go to their head instead of their heart. And so I actually did this thing, Rudy. It was a 3-day event. It was a evening, all day, half day. So like from like call it 5 to 10, and then from like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And then it was like 8 to 1. That was the format that I ran. And on the second night, I ran this video, and this video was just like a me talking. And I had recorded the video prior to the event, but I put myself in the energy of what I wanted that event to be. And I was just speaking to people. And I said, listen, like, there's an opportunity for this not to end. And I know where you're going right now. You're going to your head, and you're going to all these questions. Well, what is he going to pitch us? What does this look like? How much is it going to cost me? I knew the pitch was coming. I knew there was an I gotcha. And all of those thoughts, all of those doubts, all of that energy resides in your head. But the thing that got you into this room was heart to heart. Me reaching out in this heartfelt way, and then you feeling it on your heart, and you feeling compelled to come sitting here. And the thing that kept you here in this room is your heart. And so I'm asking you to leave your head and go to your heart, because your head has all the questions. Your heart has the singular answer. And if you like what you've experienced here, and you would like this to continue in your life, I'll give you all the details when this is done. I'll give you all the details about this, but I just want you to put your hand on your heart. And I want you to put the other hand in the sky. Close your eyes. If this is where you can see yourself being. And every hand in the room went up. And I said, so I want you to hold on to this. I want you to hold on to this. And I want you to remember this. Because tomorrow, when I give you all the details, guess what's going to happen? Your head, your questions, your doubt, your past, like your future anxieties, all going to come rushing forward. And your ability to listen to this is your ability to move through life fluidly. We had 25 people at the event. We had 22 people that were there by the end. Some people had to catch flights and whatnot. So we had 22 people when I dropped the offer. 19 people said yes to a $75,000 offer.
Wow.
$75,000 offer. And that kickstarted something that was so beautiful. We ended up running 14 events in 10 months. Zero paid ads. And we ended up getting up to, I think we did like $4.5 million in revenue, and we ended up to like 250,000, 260,000 of recurring revenue off that one event, no paid ads. And like, it was just, I'm so thankful that all that business was taken from me. I'm so thankful that I, like, my back was against the wall. That on the eve of my worst day was the dawn of my best days. And my singular largest day, like, as an entrepreneur, I've done $1 million a month multiple times. I've done $1 million a week. I've done $1 million a year. Like, I've never not done $1 million a year in revenue, but I've never done $1 million in a day. And I'll tell you something, like, this is, I might be a little emotional, but my dad had died. My dad had died unexpectedly, like 3 weeks before that event. I didn't want to do that event. I didn't want to do that event at all. But I knew, like, if he were here, he'd be like, son, you got to keep going. Like, what are you talking about? Like, don't stop. Like, you don't need me anymore. I'm gone because you don't need me. You're a grown ass man. I remember the night, like, that all those hands went up in the room. I went on a run that night because that's what my dad liked to do. And so it was my way of feeling close to him. And I was like, we did it. Like we did it. God, I'm so glad I didn't lose sight of this belief. I'm so glad I always invested in myself no matter what. I'm so glad I was in rooms with men like Rudy and Troy and all these people so that, like, when I needed to call upon it, they came back to me like a boomerang and came back to me so abundantly. And people overcomplicate it, because they're going for the income as opposed to hunting down the outcome. They're going for the information and, like, just let me tell you all the cool shit I know, rather than compelling transformation. They're afraid of the confrontation. They're afraid of, like, looking somebody in the eyes and grabbing them by the shoulders and saying, Rudy, this story doesn't serve you. Stop. Like, this is the place you need to be. And there's also a lot of, like little wiener energy, like, when it comes to the pitch. Like, okay, well, this is, I know, we don't really want this to be, like, we don't want to pitch you right now, but we, like, no, like, be confident. That's why they're there in the room. That's why you're on stage, is because they're looking at you. You need to see yourself in the way that others see you. And so, like, I used to say, like, hey, this is an invitation, not an obligation, right? Like, hey, guys, this is an invitation, not an obligation. Listen, if you're feeling this, and, like, now I just melt the room. And I say, listen, you're here for a reason. Like, there are no coincidences. There is no accident. Like, you came here. I don't know how you got here and had a friend, a car, a boat, a plane. Like, you got here. There are no coincidences. Something is happening inside of you in order for you to be here. That thing needs to be, like, harnessed and nurtured. And so this is your invitation to your obligation. This is your invitation to obligation. And whatever that looks like. An invitation to your obligation to be the best version of yourself. And if this is the place that you feel like it's going to be extracted, then join. If you feel like you can do it on your own, then go on your own. But make a choice. And that's the energy that I have. And a lot of people are like, this motherfucker's talking, or they'll say whatever. Okay, you're not my people. There's 8 billion of you on planet Earth. I don't need all of you. I need an army of soldiers that are, like, equally yoked, ready to go to war against the status quo. And that's what's missing in the live event world. This happy, clappy bullshit, like, has to go. I can just, like, stand there in confidence and know what the outcome you're hunting down and not the income. Like, don't look at your spreadsheet. Don't look at the digits and decimal points. Look at the DNA of the humans that are coming, that you have a fiduciary, a stewardship. And just say, where do we want to take these people? And when we do, What invitation do we want to offer them? And stand confident in that. I promise you this will change everything about your life events. Everything. And I go into every event with this intention of like, how many people we're going to impact? How many hands am I going to shake? How many hearts am I going to touch? How many eyes am I going to look into? And I think that like that and that alone makes the room as big as it is feel super small when I walk over and I stand right in front of Rudy and I look him in his eye and I'm speaking to just him, but I'm speaking to everybody collectively. And then I move from him to the next person. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm hunting down 50 souls. I'm hunting down 100 souls. I'm hunting down whatever it is. And I have that moment with that person. Like it changes the game. Like, if you want to hear David Goggins speak, download his book. Go on YouTube. Like people try to like flood their events with like these keynote speakers. And don't get me wrong, I love all of those people. But like it could be confusing sometimes. What outcome do you want them to get to this? What destination are you taking them that you believe that they desire and you are the bridge? They are here. What they want is there in your event, your community, your mastermind, your coaching is the bridge. And if you can clearly show them that, they will walk across it. I promise you. If you can't, you might as well just blow the bridge right up in front of them.
Wow.
I don't even know what the original question was.
No, this is perfect, man. I mean, there's so much gold in what you shared. Not just what you shared, but how you shared it. Like you really, where you coming from and sharing your own personal life experience, like from back against the wall to 24 hours in 24 hours doing $1 million. But more than anything, my biggest takeaway is the value of the personal growth that you've done through events for your life. Everything was taken away from you, and that $1 million could not be taken away from you, and how you rebuild so quickly because of that. And that's the opportunity that we as an industry are creating for other human beings.
Yes.
It was an opportunity for them to develop their skill, their network, their self-worth, their ability, so that they have the skills to succeed in their lives and in their businesses. And I
just said,
for the collaboration that you and I have here on this podcast and all the other people who are part of this podcast who know that's what we're doing. Yes, you got to make money to sustain a business. But the reason we call this the High Profit Event Show is also because we're looking for people who do high profit and high impact, right? Who run highly profitable and highly impactful events. Because at the end of the day, if you focus on the impact, is what I'm hearing you say, the profit follows.
Well, and let me give you a different reframe on that. Like the more prophetic you become, the more profitable, the more profits you have. The more prophetic, like the profit, a different word, right? With the PH, like the more profitable, which is what you truly desire that you want. And so you have to embody like who you are inside this event. So become prophetic and the profits will take care of themselves. Focus on the profits and you're going to be dimming the light of what's possible inside of your community and events.
Yeah. Awesome, brother. And speaking of the outcome, I understand that as a founder, as a CEO of Founders, or co-founder and CEO of Founders, your organization, the outcome that you're supporting entrepreneurs in now is becoming an entrepreneur and successfully exiting their businesses, leveraging the experiences that you've had. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're currently doing?
Yeah. So what I found was there was a lot of what I've now coined exitcation. Lacking in our entrepreneurial community. Like there's a lot of stuff on how to get into business, how to scale your business. There wasn't anything about how to sell your business and how do you scale your business to sell, because it's a different energy. It's a different methodology. And so we kind of coined the phrase, become an exitpreneur. Being an entrepreneur kind of sounds like you're stuck and you're just like on this hamster wheel. But an exitpreneur is what we're ultimately hunting down, is that time and financial freedom, and how it's not enough just to build a business. You must build a bank. Most entrepreneurs build a business and by a byproduct, they have an ATM, right? How much can I suck out and substantiate my lifestyle? But if you really were not myopic in your thinking and could zoom out and see a bigger picture, you would understand that every ATM is connected to a bank, and the bank is the real vehicle of leverage. Bank is the real vehicle of wealth. And so if you can build not just a business, but build a bank, It can bank you and your family and whatever you want for the rest of your life. And so we give them the founder's framework of how to do this. And we focus on exitation. We focus on transforming the mind to being an exitpreneur. And the third piece, which is execution, by facilitating and harvesting that wealth that's been built inside of their business.
Amazing, man. And for our audience who perhaps there's someone who maybe hasn't thought of it, hasn't thought about their exit plan in their business, or maybe they are thinking about it and they don't know where to go, what would you recommend? How can they learn more about you and what you're doing at Founders?
Yeah, I'd say probably the easiest way is just on my Instagram. That's probably where I'm the most active. So that's just at Nick Long, at NickLong, my name, at Nick Long. In my bio, there's a link to the site. You can just click on it and book an appointment, talk with one of our people, get some information on possibly what your business is worth. And then we have a proven process to show you how to make it worth more. And obviously, if it aligns, we'd love to work with you.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. So I've gotten the opportunity to hang out with Nick in person, as well as the co-founder, Choi Hoffman, as well. And I can personally tell you, as someone listening to this audience, that they're the real deal. They have a truly heartfelt intentions to impact many businesses. And actually, I think the goal is $10 billion of revenue through your company. And also through that, having over $1 billion of charitable donations, right, over the next.
Yep. 10,000 companies, $10 billion of exits over the next 10 years, and 10% of that given back to churches, charities, communities, causes that we care about, or that the entrepreneur cares about.
Absolutely. So you're listening to this and you're wondering, hey, what does it look like to exit my business? Or maybe you plan to exit your business, reach out to Nick. If you know someone who has a business, don't assume they have an exit plan. Like, ask them, share the resource with them, introduce them to Nick, connect, have them connect with Nick, because the resources they have there are world-class. And Nick, I just love how you guys are putting the mission of what you're doing over the commission, and you're allowing the profits to follow.
Love it, man. Become prophetic and the profits will follow, I promise you.
Amen, man. As we wrap up here, any final words you'd like to share with our audience, closing thoughts?
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I don't care what business you're in. If you're in the event business, if you're in the coaching business, if you're in the widget business, if you're in the e-com business, we're all going to have an exit. You're going to go out of business. That's an exit. You're going to build yourself out of a job. That's an exit. You're going to hand it down to the next level of managers or children or employees. That's an exit. You're going to scale it and sell it and create massive amounts of wealth if you do it right. That's an exit. But the one exit that we cannot avoid is that we're going to die. And so no business we build will last forever. But we can have a lasting impact by using this enterprise value, by building this bank, this vehicle of leverage to make what I call eternal value, a massive impact in the world. Because at the end of the day, the clothes that we wear, the cars that we drive, the watches that we so covet are going to be left here as we leave to another place. But in this place, in this space, you can decide what your real EV is. And that's your eternal value that you create long after you're gone.
Wow. Amen, man. That's a heck of a mic drop moment. Something to think about.
Boom.
Boom. Well, thank you, my friend. It's been a pleasure having you on as a guest. And for audience, reach out, connect with Nick at Nick Long on Instagram. Best way to connect with them. Check out founders.io, phenomenal company, and send people over to them as well if you know someone who's looking to exit or just wants to educate themselves. Thank you, Nick, again. Appreciate you having us.
Thank you, Rudy. Love you, man.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.